Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we've got a...
Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and The Advise Show.
All right, what's going on, everyone? It's time for the show tonight. Show topic, why 80s and 90s babies so fuck wild. Now, I did the promo video today of this. Some people got mad. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm not going to be putting the term some in a video title. If it doesn't apply to you, then you let it fly. There's a lot of videos that say it all the time about black men, that we always in jail. I'm not always in jail, so I don't get offended by that. They say black men don't take care of their kids. They always cheat. It doesn't apply to me, so I don't get mad at that. 9 out of 10, usually from my personal experience, you get offended when something I said applied to you because I didn't put your name in it. But with that said, how you doing, Ms. Gabriella?
I'm doing good, actually.
All right, Ms. Gabriella. Top 80s and 90s, baby. Now, I know you fall into that category.
I have a reason, actually. The reason why a lot of the 80s and 90s babies were, they're buck wild now is because a lot of kids grew up being unsupervised. We had the... but we were like the 80s and 90s kids were like the latchkey generation where everybody, mom and dad, both had to work. And we basically had the TV is what raised a lot of us. A lot of kids, their parents would go. They would have to be at work until 8 and 9 o'clock at night. And the kids would just come home from school and they were free to do whatever they want because their parents weren't there to take care of them. So they would sit there and watch any type of video they want to watch on TV. They would be able to go out anytime they want, come back anytime they want, bring boys over, go to parties, do whatever they wanted to do. And as long as they, you know, they made sure they looked like they were doing what they were supposed to do by 8 o'clock when the parents got home, the parents wouldn't know. And I think that's a lot of the reason why kids are just out of people my generation now are out of control because they just didn't have that guidance and supervision because a lot of their parents just had to work too much to be able to really raise them. I've seen a lot of kids, you know, my age and a little bit older than me, and they're what they would call in Africa, people that were born but not raised.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, I think that's just one of the main reasons.
So you feel basically it was a lack of parenting due to a lot of work the parent mm-hmm. had to do during the single-parent household? Because, like, the people, I'm going to say my parents' generation is the first generation of welfare recipients.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then they had us, and then after the fact, you know, the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, whatever children came in. But a lot of things changed with the 80s and 90s children as they grew up, more so in the late 80s, going into the 90s, and so on and so on. You had people, as one person had brought up, putting on their kids on Ritalin to control them. You know, back when I was growing up, a boy or whatever got out of hand, or he's just being a boy, you know, sometimes you had to, you know, tap his little behind with the belt and set him straight.
Mm-hmm.
Then it got to a point, you can't do that, you're going to go to jail. Now they start pumping them full of dope, Ritalin. Everybody putting their kids on Ritalin, and just to say they crazy or something like that. So at home, we called it a crazy check. You get that crazy check, and on top of child support and other welfare that you was getting. So everybody was putting their kids on Ritalin. And then down the line, they stopped doing it because they was noticing that people was going into illegal drugs after getting off of that Ritalin because they say it was almost like crack. So you went through a lot of that during that time period as well. Then you take it to now where we have a lot of extreme liberalism going on in America. And that generation is okay with anything goes. You know, that same generation is about me, myself, and I. We don't want to care about nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm not saying all. Not every person is like that. So if you, like I said before, if it doesn't apply to you, let it fly. But the, most of the stuff that I'm seeing that happens is within that generation. I mean, even in the black community, most of the hard work and effort of those who fought the struggle is being unraveled literally by this generation.
Every day, even. It seems like every single day, all it seems like it almost breaks my heart, because you'll be on the, in the car listening to some, like you'll be listening to something on the radio, and they'll be talking about, you know, this is Black History Month. We need to be proud of our heritage. And then the next song you hear is a twerk song. Next song you hear is a song about somebody getting killed. And it's like our generation is just out, is way out of control, because like you said, and our generation is we have this really, really extremely liberal view where you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, and however you want. And as long as it makes you happy, then you don't need to worry about anything else. And I think that's a really big problem, because, I mean, yeah, we had the wild times back in the 60s and 70s, but it was nowhere near, I don't think it was as bad as it is now. Because even though there were some, you know, people were drinking and doing drugs and sleeping around a lot, it wasn't, they didn't have social media like we do, you know. And
yeah,
so,
but at the end of the day, the internet, I'm sorry, can't make you do anything. It's your choice what you do. You may have more access to people a little bit more with the internet than you maybe would have before, but it's still your choice on what to do. Like, you know, I noticed that this current generation, you know, really don't like to research a lot. They are easily fooled, because if you tell them something, they'll believe it without cross-examining or researching anything. And that's really dangerous, you know, for them, because anybody could pimp them out of something or hustle them or something. And the powers that be, and the reason why I'm focusing on that, know the state of the current generation. And they've been taking advantage of it for the longest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about, how is it that the Voting Rights Act of 1965 got struck down and not a single black person got an uproar about it? Yeah, a few of us talked about it, but it didn't get an uproar. It should have been mass protesting. It should have been appeals. It should have been all kind of stuff. That wouldn't have happened, like, let's say, maybe back during my generation. Like I said, I was born in 79, to, you know, toward the end of 79, and not toward the end, maybe the middle, but, you know, people from the 60s, 50s, and 40s, they'd have made an issue out of that, because that was a pivotal thing for black people to vote. But yet, it went away, and nobody cares about it. Nobody says anything. As long as you got World Star Hip Hop, you fine. Now, let the government shut down World Star Hip Hop. Watch what happens. Watch how many people will be freaking out. Or let the government shut down Facebook. So something like that, or Twitter, YouTube, whatever. People will be in an uproar. They'll be fighting, mad, and everything else. But they can care less about things that matter, you know, within their lives and within this country. Ms. Gabrielle, I want to address something before we take calls. Mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj. How old you think, I'm sorry, what year you think Nicki Minaj was born in?
I don't know how old she is, because I'm not a fan of hers. I would say maybe 85, 89.
Okay.
Between those years.
Well, Nicki Minaj is an 80s baby, 1982. That's Nicki Minaj. Yeah, that's her, 80s baby. Just like Lil Wayne, he was born in 82 also. Rihanna, 88. Beyonce is 81. So I'm just quoting out some 80s babies. Anyway, most people remember... Nicki Minaj came out with that particular track that got a lot of people talking, looking ass niggas. I don't know if y'all heard that. Most people have. And what got her in trouble was her using the iconic photo of Malcolm X with the AK-47 protecting his household. After the situation, his daughter came to her about the use of that photo. And she did not like it at all. So what did she decide to do? She decides to put a diss to Malcolm X's daughter in her song that she made recently called Chirac. And that's so stupid to be running around here calling Chicago Chirac. But it's like a 9-second clip, and I'm going to play, listen to it real closely, and then we'll break that down and talk about Miss Nicki Minaj real quick. And how it factors in tonight's show. So let me get that on.
Both bitches that talk shit, now them the bitches I stunt for. Malcolm X or the came at me. Looking ass niggas ain't happy. Malcolm X or the came at me. Looking ass niggas ain't happy.
Well, I'm pretty sure you heard what you said. He said, Malcolm X daughter came at me and looking ass niggas ain't happy. Understand that Nicki Minaj disrespected her father, his legacy, did not ask his family, because she used that photo or anything. So now, if your father was gunned down like that in front of everybody, you saw it as a child, just thinking about that is traumatizing for anybody. Then you have a woman you do not know just basically trying to make money and exploit the image of your father and what he stood for. Wouldn't you have an issue with that? Well, his daughter had an issue. She came to her about it and said, hey, that's kind of wrong. You know, what you doing? And instead of her saying, you know what, you're right, I apologize for that, and moving on, no, she adds insult to injury and say she came at her like she just messing with her for no reason. I mean, you sat there and disrespected Malcolm X. Now, no other community would side with people disrespecting their leaders or their iconic people. No other community, but leave it up to the current black community. You could disrespect anybody that fought for us, and it doesn't matter. Because, you know, they didn't do nothing for you. That's how a lot of them feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Think about how many, what is that? Martin Luther King club flyers do you see out there?
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Photoshopping Dr. King. And I'm talking about in some sort of ratchet club,
like,
and do all that sort of thing. Who does that crap? You can say whatever you want to say about, oh, well, it was the parents' fault. They kept saying in the comment section, it's the parents' fault why these kids are that way. Well, you know what? If it was the parents' fault, that means they would have been doing the same thing these kids are doing because they taught them. And I'm sorry, you did not see any photos of Martin Luther King on some ratchet club back in that time period. I'm sorry, they always had a ratchet club. It ain't nothing new. They just call it a different name. But you did not see that sort of thing. That would mean people would just go off on you for disrespecting those who fought for us. But would Nicki Minaj get backlash? No. You have people supporting that in the black community. And that's sad. That's really, really sad. Even though she made this track, disrespecting Malcolm X's daughter, nobody's going to come to her and say, hey, Nicki, you filed for that. We're not going to support you or what you're doing. You need to apologize to that woman what you said. She ain't going to do it. She'll get more adamant about it. She shouldn't have came to me like that. She shouldn't have did this. She shouldn't have did that. No respect at all. It wouldn't be for people like Malcolm X. She wouldn't be making the money she's making. Mm-hmm. I mean, he even gave you, people like him gave you a platform and a coon, much as you coon. I mean, you wouldn't be a coon like that if you didn't have the platform they fought and died for. But once again, the disrespectful 80s, 90s, and so on children. Sorry, I've never seen this kind of disrespect like we see today. And it's not just black folks. It's everybody. No respect.
Mm-hmm.
I posted a video, what, in Australia? You know, you had the white girls beating the old man up. You know, that's indigenous people over there. You know, so it's not just blacks. It's everybody.
It is. And then it was a post. There was a picture. I wish I had saved it. But it was a picture of, it was like some middle school white girls, and it said middle schoolers back then, and it said middle schoolers now. And then the top picture was some happy little girls, you know, smiling at us. It looked like a school dance or something. The bottom picture that said the middle schoolers now was some little girls bent over, butt facing the camera, flipping the bird to the camera. And that seems, it's crazy how much this generation has changed, because prior to, I mean, I would say like back in the 70s, you would never see girls flipping the bird on pictures and taking every single
picture. Not openly. They would do it, but they would hide. I mean, we were scared to, like, you know, like these kids cuss. All of them cuss. And when we was in school, they would get you suspended for some days if they heard you cussing. Now, or Saturday school or something like that. Now, shoot, they cuss right in front of the teachers. Nothing to say it. But you blame the parent. Oh, it's the parents. It's the parents that raised them. I'm sorry. At the end of the day, it's you. You choose to do the things you choose to do. If that's the case, I can blame somebody for every single thing that I do in my life. Well, when it's going to get to a point that I'm accountable for my actions and what I choose to do. Now, there are those in that generation that's sickened by this as well. I mean, they are tired of it. They sick of seeing their peers do the most outlandish crap. I mean, having babies all over the place, you know, you thugging. And now, like I said, you can't blame this on my generation. You say, oh, yes, y'all generation. We didn't accept all of that Fly Young Red stuff. You wouldn't even heard that back in my generation. But
I mean, even the songs, not even to address the gay community. Even when they would have songs like the oldies, if they did mention sex in a song, they would say, oh, you know, close the door, let me give you what you're waiting for. They didn't go into explicit detail on what they do. But nowadays, every single song, they explain everything in graphic detail. There is no secrecy. It's not even romantic. It's not sweet. It's nothing. It's just some of the most vile, disgusting things you'd ever hear.
Yeah. But with that said, I want to let some calls in. And the number is 347-996-3350. Press the number 1 button, and it gives me a little indicator in the host queue. And it puts like a little question mark. That way I know, okay, this person want to speak. If I do not see that little question mark, then I assume you are listening. So I guess this person here did press the 1 button, so let's go to them. Area code 304, you on the show.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Vice Show. This is Irvin from Bluefield, West Virginia.
All right, how you doing?
Oh, fine, sir. And on your subject tonight about 80s and 90s babies, and may I say, I think your co-host earlier mentioned something about the music, particularly rap music. And that's what indicator of how it's changed. Now, granted, I was born in 1974.
Okay.
Now, granted, there was some guys that were a bit edgy in my day, too, like Public Enemy or NWA or Ice-T. But at least those guys, in some of their songs anyway, those guys actually had something of a message. But it's like it's progressively gotten worse and worse to the point where everything's about bling bling or how many women you can sleep with. It's no kind of message whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Ever. And that's just one indicator. And like you said, it seems like the ones from the 80s and 90s, in 2000, I mean, I've met a few young people that had some sense that were raised, but they're like few and far between. And the black community gets the bad rap for it, but it's not just the black community. It's really all of them.
That's why I said it. That's why I said it. It's everybody. It ain't the black folks. It's everybody. Because the thing is, you talk about a message in the music. What I liked about them, you talk about NWA, you talk about Ice Cube, Ice-T, you know, all different characters. Rap was not mainstream back then.
That's right.
True. Let me rephrase that. White folks weren't listening to it like that. It was most so us listening to it, or Hispanics listening to it, and it told the stories of the street and what really going on in the community. Which was fine. But they also, like you said, they made songs talking about, like, their girl or, you know, stuff they've been through with their girl, their kids. I mean, they didn't just all talk about the same thing. Even if they was talking about gang banging, they still had some songs that you could actually listen to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, for example, the group NWA, especially early NWA. Yeah, you had your crazy ones, like, their crazy tracks like Gangsta Gangsta or Straight Outta Compton. But you also had ones that had a bit of a message, like Express Yourself. And one that I'll admit, I still listen to sometimes, F the Police. I know you run a clean show, so I'm not going to say the word, but, you know, about police brutality in the streets. So,
yeah,
I mean, some
of that
stuff at least had a message.
Yeah, so many issues. You know, you're right. They talk about some of the issues. You talk about Public Enemy. You would never see another Public Enemy, not in this day and time. Because they actually called stuff out. They called out racism. They called out police brutality. They called out all this stuff. This the Public Enemy did in their time period. Craziest Flavor Flav was Flavor Flav's music had a message to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think, I think the reason why a lot of people don't want to make any positive music is because it doesn't sell. And everybody right now is just so focused on trying to be the next celebrity, or they want to be the next Lil Wayne or whatever. And so they don't want to make a music with a message, because there are a lot of rappers out there that make music that is, you know, there's people that are considered conscious rappers, people that talk about history, they talk about, you know, issues in the black community and so on. But those kind of people don't get any airtime. And they say, well, you know, I would like to make positive music, but if I get some half naked girls to dance in my video, then maybe I can actually get some more hits. And that's what they do.
And you mentioned You mentioned white folks weren't really listening to it back then. Yeah, with the exception of maybe Run DMC or DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Fresh Prince, as we know, is Will Smith. With the exception of maybe a couple of acts or Kid and Play from back then, they weren't listening to rap music. Really, white folks didn't really start paying attention to it until they saw they could make money with it. But then when they got involved, it started getting more downgrade to great. They said, more or less, they said, we'll give you this much money, but you got to dumb down your message.
Yeah.
That's when you see stuff like the Two Live Crew, which, admittedly, when I was younger, I used to laugh my behind off, because to me it was funny. As I got older, I'm like, why did I ever like this stuff?
Well, you know, I don't know if you remember DMX one time. They told, you know how DMX was. He was just using forward hit. And one time they had told DMX at record labels, you know, you have to kind of change the music a little bit so white people can kind of, you know, get it, because they don't really get it. And DMX's response was, I don't make my music for them. I make it for the street. And of course, they didn't like that. But I understood everything DMX said and what he talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like everything DMX put out. There's one song.
Well, you're not gonna like everything no artist put out.
Well, that's
true. For the most part, I'd rather listen to DMX than Drake.
Yeah, and
any day.
Well, I say Drake's music isn't that bad, because some of his stuff actually does deal with relationships and stuff. Some of his little, I don't like his club stuff, but. I mean, I'm not a fan of him either, but at the same time, he does make some of his music is a little bit more positive, because it does deal with relationships and things. And it's
Drake is rapping, if he really rapping, Drake is good. Mm-hmm. But he started all that singing crap, like, oh, hell, man.
What, auto-tune stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that's getting just, you know what I'm saying? So I got turned off of listening to him when he started doing all this singing. I ain't listened to Drake since the first album. I'm not using rappers like that, no way. I mean, a guy like Drake would be like an R&B singer.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So, this thing. Times has changed, yes. I'm going to say even the Macklemore guy, he couldn't have pulled that during the time of Tupac.
Uh-uh.
That wouldn't have happened.
No.
But in this day and time, how is it like, we go back to that, he gets over Kendrick Lamar, and the whole rap community, just they talk about it, but they don't really go at the neck of it. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I mean, it shows, you know, this current generation is extremely weak, too. They very, very weak. They won't stand up for nothing.
Yeah,
it's like they're
afraid
to stand up for anything.
Because we're so scared we're going to get attacked for it. Because you can't, in this day and time, people are so sensitive. And everybody is just, we're all on this PC crap. Everybody is just so like, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want to get people mad. And it's almost like you can't speak your mind. You can't say.
Oh, yeah, Miss Gabrielle, don't you lie in this program. Hold on.
Okay,
you can speak your mind. You just got to have some nuts and a backbone, whether you're male or female. The female nuts, ovaries, whatever you want to call it, and speak your mind. Believe it or not, people looking for that, Ms. Gabriella. People begging for it to hear somebody speak their mind.
Well, I mean, I do it, and people seem to have, like, I mean, I still get more positive than negative, but still people get so offended. Like, in this day and time, everybody is so like you just have to be so politically correct. Like back when they were still doing prayer in the military, they would say things like, "Oh, if there is a God, or if there is a divine savior, well, let him do this, let him do that." Like they wouldn't even say, they couldn't even say Jesus anymore. And everybody is so afraid of offending somebody or going against somebody's beliefs. You can't even say, "I disagree with this, I disagree with that," without 20 people saying, calling you a bigot and the most hateful person in the world just because you state your opinion.
Yeah, see, it's a mob-style mentality people have, too, to try to shut you up. And see, you know, a person like me and all the experiences I've been through in life has made me, you know, ironclad. I don't really have, you know, much to worry about people say about me. And shaming tactics don't work with me because they easily shame people nowadays. "Oh, you shouldn't have said that. How, you a horrible person just trying to shame you." And I'm like, let me tell you something. I've been through a lot of relationship stuff. I've been through a horrible divorce. I have no shame. It's nothing you could tell me anymore. I've been told everything. I've been done wrong by court and all this other stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, well, brother, like I said, I'm going to put you back on hold. I got some other calls. Okay. Like I said, if we get through all the calls, I'll bring you back in.
Okay.
All righty. All right, everyone, phone number 347-996-3350. Let me bring in the call that's been sitting there the longest, and it would be this caller here. Area code 510, you're on the show.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? You sound very chipper.
Yeah, I am very chipper. Fourth time calling to your show. I'm the guy
awesome.
From California. Yeah.
Awesome. How's that day, Kevin?
It's warm today, so it's pretty good.
What's your name, sir?
David.
David. All right, Dave. What's up, Dave?
Not so much. So I have some things to say about it. Well, first I wanted to say, if you go back to the early 90s, you had from California, you had Too Short. And Too Short, his music was all about him being a pimp and, you know, all kinds of sexual stuff. And then you had Little Kim out of New York who wanted to be the female version of Too Short. Her very first CD, I think it was called Nasty As You Want to Be, was an entire CD of her, just everything was just sex, 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 sex.
Nasty As You Want to Be, that wasn't her first one. Her first one was Hardcore.
Hardcore was the name, Hardcore. But it was just a straight, it was her on the cover, you know, perched over, you know, like she was, you know, posing for Playboy with some sort of a negligee on or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And that was her first album. Then you, obviously Too Short, he was kind of underground, but he was, you know, he's always kind of been a success underground, and that was particularly in the African-American community. And then you kind of saw that, them trying to repeat that with the Foxy Brown and other things. Another thing you notice is that long before BET was sold to Viacom, Bob Johnson was switching the network to make it more, as the term you guys would use, ratchet. You know, he, you know, they had that Cedar's World with the computer, you know, with the computer image of the black lady with the oversized button arms saying all kinds of things. You saw that the videos were becoming more and more risque or more and more, quote unquote, gangsterish. And all this stuff was happening long before, you know, he even sold the network. And, you know, a lot of people complained, particularly after he sold the network, he was very much like, he doesn't give a damn. You know, like, you know, that for him, he didn't care at all. And part of what led to his divorce with his wife was over the direction of the network. You know, they had a lot of conflict. And so, you know, she got half of the sale of it when they sold it to Viacom, but she was really, really upset at the direction of the network. So here in a place you have a brother who was running the only black-owned network, deciding that the money, getting more advertising dollars, is more important than actually putting out a more diverse, positive image of African-Americans. So you saw that image there, and obviously MTV and the others picked it up, you know, and kind of ran with it, you know. So I think you kind of saw that happening there first. In terms of parents, I know you talked about this. In terms of parents, here's what I would say. I you know, having worked with a lot of individuals, you know, adults and some time working with teens, I think the role that the parents played in the 80s and even into the 90s is if some of the parents' behavior themselves, because you remember we had the babies having babies. That was the 80s thing, babies having babies. You had a lot. So you did have a group of parents who themselves didn't have the best education, best skills, or any or this sort of thing. And so their behaviors, you know, particularly in the single-parent households, the behaviors of the mothers bringing in all kinds of men, you know, the behaviors of the of some of the mothers, you know, bringing gang members to be, quote-unquote, male representatives for their fathers and all sorts of other things led to, you know, contributed to some of what we see coming out of some of those children. Once they get to be an adult, then as I would agree, it's time to make a decision. But we see some of that happening. So I can understand, I can see to a point where a lot of this behavior comes from. But at least in the media, it's become increased, especially in your show, I noticed, we've seen an increased amount of women across racial lines, obviously, engaging in much more violent behavior, at least on a public level, than we have before. Now, I know, I've seen, particularly in the black community, I've seen, you know, sisters who I know would do all kind of fighting and all kinds of things, but it's gotten increasingly worse. So I think we do have to, that the parents aren't completely off the hook, because they do play a role, and my parents play a role. I'm playing a role in my son's life. That's important, you know, as much as you can. But I also think that because you had a lack, because you had these parents all up in their other things, doing drugs, crack cocaine, all these kind of other things, that did have some bit of an effect on them, on their lack of an ability to manage their children and to actually reinstill the values that happened. So something happened between the 60s. I always say something happened between the 60s and the 70s that brought up this next group of parents who started having children, who then did all the morals and values started disappearing. So I don't know what the breakdown was between that 60s generation and, you know, and 70s generation that led to that. So that's something I'm always trying to figure out.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing I saw on Twitter today was that somebody had posted, they put in quotations, "We have to go back to traditional American values." And then the person followed up with saying, "That's the most ignorant statement I've ever heard," which to me is crazy, because the direction that the country is in right now is we're going down, we're going to hell in a handbasket, basically. And to say that, and nowadays, actually promoting traditional American values, promoting family values, promoting the two-family system is actually considered hate speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And yeah, it is.
It's hate speech. That's, yes, it is.
Forget them. That's what works.
That's what works. But they say, oh, no, 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 no.
Hate speech. I use that term, hate speech.
Yeah, I hate the term, too. Everything's hate. I mean, Bill Cosby, you know when Bill Cosby made the famous pound cake speech, some people got upset at him because he called out the truth. When he said that, you know, you talk about the dirty trash, it's getting out at 2:30 in the afternoon. He was telling the truth. I've seen it, you know, that people have to be really, that if we're even going to address this problem, we can't use these. One of the things I always say, and I'm very upfront about this, is I say this to all African-American people particularly all the time, we can't keep using all these terms to butter up what the real truth is. You know, you can't just say he's trouble. You can't just say that he's messing up, you're effing up, he's effing up. We got to be honest about it. That's not right.
Yeah.
You have to be, you got to confront it. If you're just constantly trying to find an excuse or some sort of way to keep him from actually having to, you know, well, his father's not here, so we are you giving this? It doesn't
help. Yeah, everybody got an excuse. Like I say, when I did the promo for the show, everybody was saying, oh, it was the parents of the previous generations. Why did this way? Oh, is this? Oh, is that? Say so. You have no personal responsibility. Those who do those things, they have no personal responsibility. Your mama just made you do all the stuff that you're doing. I'm sorry. In this, you know, society, ratchetness. Everybody wants to be ratchet. Everybody. I'm like, when did a group of people who were looked at as low class in every group of society become? That's what everybody want to be.
You want to know, like, when this stuff happened, because, I mean, like I said, if you go to Oakland, which is in the Bay Area where I live, and you go to Richmond, obviously they have high murder rates, you see a lot of stuff going on. I mean, just at this present moment where I live at in the Bay Area, I mean, we have a rash of young people, largely black and Latino men and women, young, who are just robbing people of their Apple I products. You know, they're stealing iPhones, doing it. Just the other day when I was on lunch break from my job, I saw this young teenage sister. She came into the coffee shop, and a guy had set his backpack down, and she went over there to pick up the backpack and was trying to walk out. And I went and grabbed her by the arm and said, yelled over him and said, "Is this your backpack?" You know, he made it real clear, you know, that was not acceptable behavior for her to do. And she didn't even, you know, I thought I was going to have to battle with her, like she was going to, you know, go crazy. She didn't go crazy. She dropped the backpack, and then I didn't hold on to her. I just let her leave it. That she didn't run. She just kind of walked. And then the next time I was there, she was back in again. No problem.
Yeah, it's wild, man. But, you know, I appreciate you calling because I got, you know, some more calls in line here. And, you know, I'll put you on mute.
Thank you.
All righty. All right, Ms. Gabrielle, I got anything to say before we go to the next call? Anything about Nicki Minaj?
Actually, I wanted to get on that because I have found her response to what was that, when people were getting upset at her for using the poster, and she decided, she came out and said, I'm going to read her direct quote. Let's see. She said, "What seems to be the issue now? Do you have a problem with me referring to the people Malcolm X was ready to pull his gun out on as looking ass niggas? Well, I apologize. That was never the official artwork, nor was it the official single. This is a conversation, not a single." And then she just keeps going on and on, and that was the most.
But you notice a theme. It's always a reoccurring theme. You refuse to take personal responsibility for your actions.
Mm-hmm.
Refuse to. Get pissed if somebody tells you take responsibility for the crap you do. Be accountable. And that's a big thing in society today. It's that right there. She did it, but she can't accept it. You know, it's somebody else's fault. But anyway, let me go to the next call, see who's been sitting here the longest. Been sitting here the longest. Erico 252, you're on the show.
Hi, what's up, man? What's up, Avaz?
What's going on? What's your name?
How you doing, brother? I'm Terrell. I called in before. I'm Terrell.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically give me the gist of like what's the conversation about, like, cuz I'm a 90s baby. I was born in 1990. But
okay.
So what exactly is the discussion about?
Well, the discussion is, and the topic is, why 80s and 90s babies so buck wild. Now, let me ask you a question. What I mean by that? In this current generation, that those who are born, like the current rappers, singers, even the people, have you noticed those that were born in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s can care less about anything other than themselves?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Other than themselves, the females, and of course, when I say all this, I'm not saying all. It's just those who apply to this. The females, you know, they are the most violent that you've ever seen. You know, they do the most. They have, you know, all these kids they having, left and right. And if you tell them, hey, chill out with that. Don't dress that way. Don't post that kind of photo on the internet. They'll cuss you out. They talk worse than any man I've ever met.
Yeah.
That's just the females. Then you got the dudes that's soft, very, very soft. If they're not the other way, they don't assert themselves, get pissed off when you tell them be a man. This is what's going on. On top of the world star hip hop that you want to look at all the time, the loving hip hop, you know, you want to immerse yourself with instead of learning something that happened.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, all I can say is, well, you know, during the 60s, you know, 40s and all that stuff, you know, black people, we had it hard. We had to overcome things. There was a reason for us to band together to get our rights and everything. After we got it, after we got, you know, our rights, well, somewhat equal rights and all that, it seems like we lost our fight. It's like, okay, we got it, but we don't know what to do with it. You know, after MLK died, it was like, okay, we lost a great leader. What do we do now? We're sitting there waiting for the next leader to lead us instead of being leaders ourselves. That's one thing I'll have to say about that. And then now you got, like, black kids going to school with white kids, you know, enough with segregation and all that. So now black kids have to catch up with what the white kids are learning. So when they get home, you know, mother didn't learn anything what the child learned. The child knows more than what the mother learned. So the child is like, okay, you can't tell me this because I already know more than you. You know, you have that generation.
Yeah, you know what?
Where,
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up. This generation is a bunch of know-it-alls and don't know crap.
Yeah.
You know everything, but you broke. You have nothing to show for your all this knowledge. You tell them something. I know. But you got six kids.
Exactly.
But you know everything. You tell these dudes something. I know. But you're still living in your mama house and you 30.
Yeah.
But you know but everything. No, I can't tell you nothing.
The parents will spoil them because, oh, my child is going to be, you know, this or that, you know, and the parents will spoil them. The child know more than what they know, and that's basically what happens, you know. The parents don't really guide the kids like how they used to or how they should now. That's all I got to say about that. But, yeah, I agree with you totally. Like, kids, people my age, it's like they weren't, a lot of them weren't raised with, like, the parents got it in the right way. My dad was in the Navy and in the Army, so I got my discipline and all that. My brothers and, you know, we got a discipline and all that. But a lot of kids, they're less fortunate, I guess, you know.
A lot of the problem is that a lot of people, a lot of parents in that generation were so focused on trying to be the cool parent and trying to be the kid's friend.
Yeah,
and I think
that's true.
Why a lot of kids are having problems now, because I see people even, you know, even a little bit younger than me, you know, their mom will let them do whatever they want, and their dad will let them do whatever they want because they don't want their kids to get upset, or they don't want their kids to not be able to fit in with the other kids. But you have to think. I mean, I'm glad that my parents didn't let me go to parties. I'm glad I didn't get to do all the stuff the kids are doing now. But that made me a better person, and I'm way more prepared for my future than half of the kids my age. You know, I got a car and an apartment. Most people don't even, people in their 30s don't even have that.
Yeah. And now you got the age where we're at right now with the young kids. Parents can't really discipline their kids. So, I mean, you think this generation bad, just wait till the next one, you know. Oh, God.
You talk about, you know, what they call reasonable discipline, not abuse. That's wrong. You can't do nothing.
Yeah,
so these kids are just running around here doing what they want to do and with no consequence at all.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. That's why they talk the crap they talk. They do the things that they do. They know so much that stuff they shouldn't know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the things they discuss is something I didn't even discuss at their ages.
They
too doggone grown. But and like I said, because they think they grown, they think they know everything. And I'm a firm believer of, you know everything, well, get it, go in the real world, see how much you know. You know a bunch of crap. But anyway, like I said, brother, appreciate your calls. I need to get to other callers. I know, you know, some people want to get in. I see a person been sitting there for a while, so I want to get them in. I'll put you back on mute. All right, thank you, brother. All right, Ms. Gabriella, we're going to go to the next call. This person has been sitting here at least as long as he finally put the one button, so I let them in. Erico 219, you on the show.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay, so I was born in late 90s, so I was a 96 baby. And, my dad, he was in the National Guard, and he disciplined me and everything. But the thing about him is that when he disciplined me,
hold on. Let's
he
back
would always...
up. Let's back up. What do you define as discipline?
Rip me 3 times on my butt.
Okay. All right.
And every time he would do that, he would explain to me why he's doing it. And then just, like, I think the problem is that not only do you need to discipline the kids so that they know, like, not to be acting like idiots and stuff, but you need to explain to them, like, what they did was wrong and everything like that.
See, I think the reason why a lot of black kids are growing up with all these aggression problems is because so many people, like, there's this attitude in the black community, like, oh, he's acting out, okay, let me slap him. This person, you know, she's not doing what she's supposed to do, okay, let me get my belt and beat her. And they don't actually sit down and say, okay, this is what you did wrong, I'm going to punish you for it, and I'm not doing this because I'm just going to take my anger out on you. I'm doing this because I'm trying to teach you something. And I think that, you know, a lot of parents didn't do that. They just think, oh, well, you know, beating your child is the only way. They don't actually think about trying to instill values in them. Because you can spank a child all you want to. If you don't explain why, they're not going to know. They're just going to say, okay, well, I mean.
Yeah, because it has to be a teachable moment. You don't just. And then discipline like that is the last resort. The first resort is to talk to him. You don't just swing.
He would, like, always give me multiple chances. Like, first he would talk to me calmly. And then after a couple of times, he'll start raising his voice. Like, after I keep on doing that thing. And then he'll, last resort, he'll whip me in the belt, and then I want to do it again. Like, that's the last time I'd ever have trouble.
Yeah, okay. So your dad disciplined you. Have you been to jail?
No, I'm 17, but no.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 17.
Well, it don't mean you can't go to jail. But, you know what I'm saying, this day and time.
Yeah,
you got people going to jail at 8, 9 years old, so just doing some old hood rat stuff. So, you know, it's just a time period that, like I say, that we live in, and it's not just the black community, it's all communities, because, you know, I put up news stories all the time, and everybody acting a fool. It ain't the black folks, you know.
A child went into school and stabbed up, sat there and stabbed 20 people just recently.
Yeah,
I saw
we see all these violent attacks. And this is just like one after the other. One person going in shooting people, one person stabbing people, one person doing this, one person doing that. And, yes, we did have the Columbine shooting back in the day, back in the, what was it, 92? I don't remember the year, but it was when I was, I don't even think I was born yet. It was, you know, either then or I was just too young to remember. But, I mean, we did have that, the Columbine shooting, but we didn't have as many mass school attacks or all these violent incidents.
That happened April 20th, 1999.
Oh, I was way off. But still, we didn't have that kind of thing going on all the time like we have now. Because I'm pretty,
hey, another thing we didn't have. We didn't have all the teachers screwing students.
No, we didn't.
I mean, guys, you know, the guys would be looking at their teacher like, you know, the teacher looked nice, but it wouldn't be a fact that even a guy wouldn't even say nothing silly to a teacher like that. They would get sent to the office if they being disrespectful. If they tell their teacher, you know, too much stuff. I mean, so it's like, you know, I remember back in school, we had this assistant principal. Never forget her. Her name was Miss Rory. Never forget her. Them females, she would watch them. She had a measuring stick. They had to be so much inches to your shorts. If it didn't match her stuff, she was sending you home. The rest of the day. Now, let that kind of teacher run around, assistant principal run around now, how these little girls run around here looking like hoes. Oh, it'd be a problem.
You're impeding, you're infringing on my rights to express myself. They will say something like that. And it's like, or you're trying to discriminate, or you're slut-shaming, or
that term right there. I can't believe the first time ever somebody ever told me that. You're slut-shaming. I like... Excuse me. I said, no, you didn't just tell me that. Like, you're defending whores?
Nowadays,
are you crazy?
You can't, nowadays, you can't say that, you can't call somebody a whore.
Shoot, I call you a whore. If you're a whore, you're a whore, you're a slut, whatever. Just like I say, you're a thug, criminal, whatever. I'm calling it with how I see it. Sorry. Am I lying on you if I'm saying that? And the killing part about it, the hypocrisy of those females get mad at it. They call each other whores. So if you don't want nobody to call you a whore, don't be using it. Shoot. Start that mess with me. But anyway, appreciate you calling, man, and I'm going to let try to get to the next call that's been sitting here the longest.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. All right, everybody. Phone number is 347-996-3350. Bear with me a little bit. I'm trying to fight some little cold because it keeps changing weather over here. The weather over here has PMS. They don't know what they want to do. It's hot 1 minute, cold the next, and it's getting everybody stuffed up. So let's get to the next call we got. Area code 832, you on the show.
How y'all doing? Good evening.
Good evening.
Mm-hmm. I grew up I was born in 79, at the end of 79.
Oh, okay. So we're the same age.
But I was born in New Orleans, but I lived in New Orleans, Baltimore, and in Chicago.
Okay.
So when New Orleans was quote-unquote bad, I was there. When Marion Barry was getting arrested, I was there. When Chicago was off the chain but it wasn't on the news, I was there. And the thing I noticed the most is when the grandparent died off,
uh-huh,
it kind of, the discipline and the consistency in the family structure died off with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because grandparents were the ones to tell you, okay, listen, this is what you're going to do. I don't care about your privacy. I don't care if your mama told you wrong, if your daddy told you wrong. This is what's going to happen. And a lot of times, you had, when you, especially when you had young parents, the grandparents were the parents because they were parenting their kids and their grandkids at the same time. So you had a wealth of knowledge and everybody listened to the, to older people. Now, since everybody feels they know everything, there are no consequences, so people think. Because I see a lot of young kids going around doing stuff like, you actually think you're going to get away with it. And they're indignant to the point like, yeah, I could do what I want, because they actually think people protect them. The way I grew up, if you go out there doing dirt, you're going to get dirt, and we're not going to cry about you because you did it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But now, it's completely opposite. If a bully got beat up, nobody ran to the bully's house to brought him flowers and say, oh, that's so bad, little Timmy beat you up. We gonna fix him. We're going to suspend him for that. No, they was like, hey, hope he kicked your butt tomorrow.
Yep.
But
yeah,
it's completely different.
Our generation.
That's brought up bullying. Bullying back when we was growing up versus bullying now. A true bully beats you up, take your lunch money. Not call you names. That's not bullying. Oh, it is bullying. They're calling you names. They're calling you skinny. They're calling you ugly. They're calling you fat. They call you this, call you that. I mean, that's not bullying. Are you getting beat up every day? And it toughens you up to the point that, you know what, I got to fight back. And then back in the day, they used to be like this. If you don't fight, oh, I don't know what's going on with that clicking back there, whoever doing that. If you don't fight your bully, and you just let somebody beat you up and not fight back, I'm going to whip you when you get home. So you better fight back.
Hmm.
That's the way it was. So you better not just sit there and let somebody curl up in a fetal position, let somebody beat you up. You didn't want to get beat. You didn't want no whipping at home. But today, that's child abuse. And parents getting locked up. So parents are afraid their hands are tied to discipline their children.
And then I have a feeling that in about 10 years, people are going to be complaining because they'll say, oh, well, what happened? Why is everybody out of control? I don't understand.
10 years, they're doing it now.
I'm saying it's gonna get even. It's only gonna get worse from here. It can't get any better because there's no one wants to stop anything. Nobody wants to step in and say, okay, we need to stop. We need to go back to our old way of doing things because this new way is not working.
Oh yeah, we definitely see that.
The craziest thing, like, I live in the suburbs, and it was funny because the kids sometimes in the suburbs, they act real hood. But I've noticed this just from late 80s, 90s kids in general. Just like when I look at TV and I be like, these kids think hood is fashionable. They actually think because you put a scully on, I look hard. You don't know where I'm from. I put a bullet through you because I'd have thought you was from the wrong place.
Yeah.
They do stuff now to look a part that they never lived or aspire to be. Where I grew up, we didn't aspire to be gangsters and drug dealers. It was a part of the culture around us, but nobody actually likes being a drug dealer. But we have young generations who see all these images and think that's what people actually wanted to be. Nobody likes getting shot at. Nobody likes getting arrested. Nobody likes getting a 30-year charge. But these parents are not telling these kids the world ahead of them, and they just letting them go off into the world.
But, you know, you can't really always say that because some parents are telling their kids, so we got that generation, you know everything just because you can operate a smartphone. You don't know crap. And once you get outside that, I love the real world because when that real world hits you upside the head, then you're going to see what people told you. That smartphone can't help you out in that real world.
Mm-mm. The smartphone gets so far.
I'm sorry. Like, even with my son, my son know I'm not going to take his, he can't go out in public and act a fool and think I'm just going to stand there because we're in public, because I wasn't raised like that. If I acted a fool in the grocery store, my mother, my grandmother, my father would be like, just where you going to get it then. And I knew that's what it was going to be. If I acted a fool in school, they'll come to the school. This is where you're going to get it then. Because they will make an example out of the situation, like, you can't go everywhere just because we're not here and do whatever you want to do. That's not how the world works. People nowadays go anywhere and say, you can't talk to me like that. You can't put your hands on me. Yes, I could cuss you out. Yes, I could spit on you, but you can't do it back. And I'm like, okay.
That's the time period we live in, as I stated earlier. No accountability, no personal responsibility. Everybody else's fault, not yours, for what you do. How dare somebody tell you you're wrong? I mean, you're wrong all the way down the street wrong, and you still get mad at somebody tell you, hey, you're not right for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the culture of this particular, you know, generation. Like I said, I've never seen that before. I'm sorry, I have not. But appreciate you calling, brother. I need to get to other calls. People are waiting on the line, and I'll put you on mute.
Okay.
All right. Error code 678, you're on the show.
Hey, this is Classy.
Classy. What's up?
Hey, how you been, man? I think you guys are totally wrong focusing on the kid.
Okay. How are we wrong?
You, I, and anybody that's over 25 are responsible for these laws. These laws were not like this.
How are we responsible for the laws? Explain that. Are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you. Say it again.
I said, how are we responsible for these laws? How me and you personally are those who are in our peer group responsible for those laws? Explain it to me.
You guys just said a little while ago that most of these situations didn't exist when we was growing up.
Uh-huh.
A lot of our lack of going out to vote locally, a lot of our allowing some of these representatives in to sneak bills in that they friends. And you got to remember, most of the people who are weak-minded, who have a lot of slack in raising their children, are the main ones pressuring these laws to even exist. Let me show you an example. A lot of these laws,
let me ask you a question. Are you African-American?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. The model that you see today with children, the traditional African-American parenting model, and not just African-Americans, because I know Hispanics are that way also, do you seriously think this parenting model you see today is a mirror of the minority type communities? Or is it a type and shadow of the white community?
White people, Jewish people, Russian people, Asians, and a lot of Latins.
That's not the question I asked you.
Okay, how would you like me to answer the question? I'm trying to answer it.
I'm not asking you how to answer it. I'm saying, what parenting model do you see now? What is the type and shadow of? In other words, like when I was growing up.
It's not the shadow of the white people. No, it's not the shadow of the white people.
Okay, well, who is it then?
It's the shadow of the single parent, period. Whatever color that may be.
I'm sorry. I've seen single mothers bust their kids' tail. They don't let them talk to them in any kind of way, snatch their neck, and do all kind of other stuff they got out of line.
Yeah, that don't have anything to do with it. People, children, you, I, even people during our time who grew up with single parents, they want to see structure. They want to see structure. A couple of people just called you and spoke about structure. And
uh-huh.
See, that's why I say it's difficult to answer your question. I know you may want to hear white folks, but even in my culture, because I'm part Indian, we're going through the same thing in the Indian culture that black folks is going through, because our lack of structure that we used to have is no longer present. So my point to you is that what we're doing right now, we're creating laws and systems, making it easy for people who should be more accountable. Now, once I hang up, somebody will dismiss what I'm saying, but let's look at something real quick. Pakistani people are here. Indian people are here. Asian white folks. Most of them operate in a family mindset. Do you think that, and you and I know culture changes all the time, do you think that in the next half a decade, if all those groups got together and started saying, hey, Republican President JoJo is going to make super tax breaks for everybody that's married and coupled up and raising kids, you basically are going to have outstanding life on taxes. Everything, you're going to get everything back. The single people, we're going to castrate them. Who's going to get, what group is going to get hurt the most? You know and I know. Any group that's still operating in that mentality. Most of our problems, and let's not sugarcoat it, are coming from a lack of structure and a lack of system. No matter what it is, it's still coming from that. So,
but you know what? I'm going to bring something in somebody said in the chat room. And it's true. What's going on today, they stated laws and politicians have nothing to do with it. It's about values and principles upheld in the home. It's not about laws. And that's true. That's true, because politicians can't govern what happens in the home.
Okay, let's say it's true of what happens in the home. Then let me ask that person in the chat room this simple question. If people were not, if government daddy did not exist, would people in the home have to conduct their home life a little bit better? Let me say it again. Please don't avoid the question. If government daddy did not exist, if this was like the radio days where you had to deal with that other parent, if this was like the radio days where you had to be selective, very selective, with who you sleep with, who you have a baby with, if you had to do all those things, person in the chat room, would you still say that it has to do with only the home? Government daddy has a lot to do with how these people are selectively using schools to be babysitters and not raising their kids.
Does anybody disagree? Their response, but no law is going to change a person's moral behavior.
You see how they avoided the question?
I kind of do agree with what the caller, what you're talking about right now, because if there wasn't the system in place where I, as a woman, I can go out and have five children, and I know that no matter
what,
I'm going to have insurance. I'm going to have I'm going to have health care. I'm going to have my lights, my everything paid. Well, everything paid for. Basically, I can just sit on my butt and watch TV all day and watch Maury. And if there wasn't that system in place, people would have. They would be forced to go back to family values, because there's no way that a woman would make the conscious choice to go out there and make 20 babies, because she knows that she's not going to have anybody to take care of them. But because we have all these systems in place right now, there is no accountability. Like, a lot of women don't feel like they need to take accountability for their actions, because they feel like, well, I mean, I'm going to get welfare, so it doesn't matter. I can go out and do whatever I want. And this thing goes for the men too, because they feel like, oh, well, I don't even have to work. I can just go lay up with the quick way, and I can go and live in her house. I don't have to marry her. And, you know, I can lift the kids.
Now, when it comes to you saying government daddy, I don't support the welfare system. I don't support no-fault divorce. I don't support feminism. I don't support none of that stuff. Because
have you voted against it and voted against people who do support it?
Every time I've gone out to vote, I have voted along policies, okay? And every last one of them politicians, no matter what, they're going to cater to all those groups. I don't care what you say. They're going to talk to women. They're going to talk to, you know, this community, that community, whatever. You know, what politician do you know going to say, you know what, I'm trying to get rid of welfare today. I'm trying to eradicate unfair child support today.
There's quite a few of them. There's one legendary brother in Tennessee, and you as a male and me as a male kind of would have benefited from his situation, even though we're not in his situation. He's one of the people who in Tennessee, when he realized that there was so much false father claims, he was one of the people who tried to say, well, we're not going to give any money unless there's an actual DNA test. When he got ostracized, then California picked it up, that idea, and now that's why California do it, and that's why you have other places doing it now, because of that courageous black man in Tennessee who said that nearly 8 years ago.
Well, that's a great thing that he did, you know, because some of these females, I think personally, if you do paternity fraud, you should not only get fined, but you should get jail time. That's how I feel about it. False rape.
You're not going to have that because there's no male group that lobbies for Congress, and there's only women groups that lobby. I mean, I use a perfect example like the equal pay thing. If you said with the whole equal pay thing, which is kind of crazy, but whatever. If you said, okay, if you feel that women are not getting equal pay because of the 3 month or 6 month situation that they really are quoting, which gives them 77% that they don't get paid while they're on family, give me an equal family time annually. Problem solved.
Yeah.
Or if you want to say, you know what, let's be pro-women and make sure every woman makes the equal pay plus a penny more. So that way she's making more. But women, in return, and this was offered to many women group and they put a stop to it, women, in return, we want to make sure that every department, every building has equal amount of men in there. Women were not with that. So that's my point of government daddy. You can't have a group, or even if it was guys, because it was guys at one point in time in the 1700s doing the exact same thing that they do now. You can't ask people to sit up here and say, I'm going to kick it, and then my child go wild out, and I'm going to blame the child. In actuality, if even you at Vice Show would admit, if they penalize parents tomorrow for the behavior of their kids severely, kids would either be given away, locked up, or you wouldn't even hear or see nothing from them. But we don't do that no more. Remember the truant officer? Truant officer picked you up, took you to jail.
Yeah.
Your parent came to watch you. But somebody said, you shouldn't be picking up Billy. And now what do we have? Lack situations.
Okay, and with that said, I appreciate you calling. I think I got other calls in the line, but appreciate your different point of view.
It's all about government daddy. Kill him. Everything will get solved. Talk to you later.
All right. All right. Government daddy. That is a big problem in this country. Area code 267. You on the show?
Hey, that's me. I'm calling from Philly now.
Uh-oh, Philly.
Philly. I have a theory. My older brother and I was talking earlier today, and
uh-huh.
I ran something past him. You know, children of the 80s and 90s, during that time, we had a really big crack issue.
Yeah.
A really big crack issue. So having said that, I personally believe children, a lot of children, not all children, because I was born in 79. Both my parents were married, too. However, most of these children, or a lot of them, rather, were crack babies.
Some of them were. I agree that some of them were.
I really believe that, and I believe by their parents, you know, being crackheads, that's where the ball was dropped as far as the family values, you know, discipline, nurturing. So nowadays we have kids who wall out. These crackheads.
Well, let me bring something else up. We were discussing earlier about the Ritalin. Remember Ritalin?
Absolutely.
They were diagnosing all these kids with ADHD. Now, back in the day, they would just say, that little boy is active, that little girl is active. They need to get out, they need to play. They ain't the type of kid that you can just sit them in front of the house all day. Some kids, if you sit them in the house, they're going to bounce off the walls. They need to be out, you know, running and jumping and playing ball, doing whatever. But since they can't keep them pent up, they want to medicate them. They had them all doped up like we were talking about. We back home, they used to call it a crazy check. You know, get your kid on Ritalin so your kid can get a crazy check on top of your welfare. And females are just putting their kids on this stuff, saying their kid got ADHD just so you can get this money. There's a lot of single mothers did that just to get an extra check. And now we're seeing the results of all that Ritalin they put in them kids.
helmet. You think that's bad, you wait until your children are adults. Because if we're dealing with crack babies today and the way they're walling out, you just wait until the stuff that the kids are taking today that's going to grow up with your children are going to be acting. You just wait. It's going to be horrible. Now, I remember when I took a trip out to Minnesota back in 04, I didn't hear things like Asperger's disease and attention deficit disorder. In fact, the first time I learned about it, it was a white issue. You know, middle America, only other nigga was my shadow. You know, I literally survived in a town like that for about 2 weeks, even though I did enjoy myself. The point being is I noticed that a lot of the children were medicated. It wasn't like that here in Philly. Not as recently as 04. I didn't start hearing about kids having attention deficit disorder until recently, too, because remember, before they came out with that attention deficit disorder or before it made its way to, like, the East Coast and a lot of minorities, they were just telling us our kids were just mangled. Like, our children had sight issues completely. They were just done. They were overly violent, too active. They can't learn. They don't learn like normal children, if you remember that. But they also would have a lot of single mothers place their children in special education class. That was before a lot of the medicating of the kids back when I was coming up, back in the late 80s, early 90s. I don't know if things are the same for you in Texas, but, you know, that's how things rolled here in Philly. But back to that, I do believe, you know, that crack issue was where the ball was dropped. Because anybody who know those who go through a rehab program, like Alcohol Anonymous program, or a drug rehab program, it's actually encouraged their family members to disassociate with the person that's on that's drinking heavily or on drugs. So therefore, you're removing family support. You know, just like the other guy said, you would have mom, dad, aunts, uncles, you know, helping you raise your kids. It was a family affair. You know, morals.
Yeah, they had the attitude it takes a village to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
But now, the problem is that the whole, especially in the black community, it's a matriarchal system where every single authority figure in the family is a woman, and a lot of these it's just generation after generation of welfare recipients and generation after generation of teenage mothers growing up, and it's like auntie, grandma, mother, everybody. It's just a whole house full of women trying to lead a family, and this is not working. And a lot of them don't know what they're doing because a lot of them had babies when they were 13, 14, 15,
uh-huh.
And then yet they're trying to sit there and be the authority figure and try to instill values into their children when they themselves didn't have that.
Yeah, there's no balance. You need a man in the home, mm-hmm. whether you're raising a boy.
Amen. Yes, you do.
Or a girl, because, like, I think I mentioned my parents were married. Actually, until my mother passed, and they were married until, 35 years at that point. But point being is, you know, as females, we knew our place. It wasn't running after a guy after he, you know, tell you he wanted to be left alone. We knew we wasn't going to have a worthless guy laying up under us. We weren't having sex in the house. You know,
mm-hmm.
just certain things come with a man being present in the home. You know, mom did her,
Now, I was saying, you know, in that time period you brought that up, the women were taught to not go out and get no sorry thug type guy. You know, he had
mm-hmm.
to be hardworking from a good family.
Oh, no.
A lot of times they wanted him to be, you know, God-fearing, just a decent man, and he had to prove himself to the dad, and the granddad, the uncles,
absolutely.
And all those other stuff, he's a decent guy.
I mean, back then, there was no way. See, this is the thing. This is where that's why you need a two-parent system, because, you know, mothers will usually say, oh, well, it's okay if you love him, you know.
Yeah.
But the father will step in and say, okay, you came to my house, your pants sagging, you got cornrows,
yeah.
diamond earrings, and your, you know, and your little Nikes on your feet. You're not taking my daughter. Turn around and go, you change your clothes and change your behavior, or, you know, and you're not welcome here. But nowadays, I mean, the mother won't care.
But
the father won't care. You can do whatever
you want. You better know not to bring a guy home like that. you just don't do certain things. Like, don't come home pregnant.
Like, even a guy. If a guy brought home some of these little females in front of their mama, the mama be like, she be nice, but boy, when that girl leaves, she going to chew him a new one. You bring that little hoe in my house, and I be going off on you about bringing that kind of female to the house.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't want your mama to even know you was around that kind of female. You'll never hear the end of it. But now, shoot, they bring all these little females at Shopping City Trends, all in the LA that their mama house.
Those days are gone. When I watch your videos, you know, it takes me back. It does. You know, like the good old days where we watch, even though it was reruns, like What's Happening and shows of that nature, because they don't make innocent good shows like that anymore.
No, they don't.
It was just a different time
period. And they were good shows.
Yeah, they were.
They were actually good shows, like Sanford and Son and, like you say, What's Happening and what else I was thinking about.
All them shows, Family Matters.
Family Matters, Jefferson. Yep.
All we have is twerk videos and Maury and all that. That's the only thing that even kids are watching, this kind of garbage.
And everything has to be about something sexual in nature, whether it's gay or straight. It's always something sexual.
Uh-huh.
Even on children's cartoons. Even in children's cartoons, there's plenty of times. Even in children's cartoons, there's plenty of times when I've heard sexual innuendos. I've seen there's butts everywhere. Every cartoon has somebody showing their butt. I don't know why they think that. I don't know how that's supposed to be funny. They'll sit there borderline cursing.
It's the homosexual agenda.
Well, and they'll have like somebody borderline cursing and saying all kinds of different things. And I don't understand. And the parents, see, the problem is the parents aren't watching what their children are watching. They just let their kids just sit in front of the TV and just sit there for hours and hours and hours while they're out doing whatever they want to do. They don't sit there and monitor their children and say, okay, let me see what my children are actually watching.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guarantee if parents actually sat down with their children like they used to and actually would monitor the kind of stuff that the kids were watching, I guarantee half the children would not have televisions in their rooms anymore. Because
let me add a point, too. Back when we was growing up, you talk about Family Matters and all that. You didn't have about 300 channels on TV either. You had to watch network television that came on TGIF or whatever. You actually had Saturday morning cartoons, not cartoons 24/7. You actually had to, at a certain time period, had to be there to watch it. You get what I'm saying?
Okay,
now,
you
got cartoons 24/7. Watch shows anytime you get good and ready. I mean, you stay in front of the TV being dumb, even though they got some good stuff on the television. They do like the Discovery and what is that? A History and all different. It's fine. But most people don't want to watch that. They want to watch VH1 and MTV. I remember when MTV started. MTV started, and it was rock. And then eventually they started playing Michael Jackson and all the other stuff. It was all music 24/7. You don't even hardly find music on MTV or VH1. VH1 used to play classic music. They don't even do that no more. It's all reality shows, and it's all the same. You know, all that. I thought about all the cuss words that go on TV now. They wouldn't happen in the 80s and 90s style television. You couldn't get away with saying all that. It'd be bleep this and bleep that. All thing you can't say on TV now that I think about is MF and the S word. Anything else? Or an F word. Anything else you can say on television. It's fine.
Well, you can do everything.
And he's showing
too.
A lot more skin too.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Some of that stuff on television is almost like pornography.
It is. Even in shows that are catered towards middle school children, like there was a show on Nickelodeon where what was that show called? iCarly. This girl, she looked like she was about 14, 15, kissing on some boy that looked like he was about 18 or 19. They were sitting on the couch, kissing and touching on each other, and there was no parental supervision. And what kind of values are you teaching your, you know, what kind of values are being taught to kids?
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Back in the day when they have like a little scenario of a little teen boy, teen girl liking each other, whatever, the furthest they would go is she kissed him on the cheek. And that was a big deal to the boy and all this other stuff. No more further than that. None of that groping or nothing. Just a kiss on the cheek. Now, I mean, it's you know, they showed all kind of mess.
Yeah,
I'm like,
kind of
this is the time
on,
it.
Well, it kind of put a new spin on the term television programming, right? When you think of it, what are you really learning when you watch these TV shows today?
I'm selective on what I watch. Of course, I watch some things for entertainment purposes. Yes, we all do. But for the most part, you know, I got TV here, but I hardly have time to watch it. You know, unless my wife is watching Walking Dead.
No, that's the show. I love that show.
Or Swamp People or stuff like that. But other than that, you know, I mean, it's the things that really change. Some things change for the better. You know what I'm saying? Like the internet and all that. The internet's awesome. You know, I mean, it's great, you know, that we can get our voice out and be heard and learn and all this other stuff. You know, the smartphones are great. But at the same time, it's a lot of degradation that's happened in the process. And it kind of wish more of a simpler time period where we didn't have all the hustle and bustle, where things wasn't open 24 hours a day. I remember things actually being closed on Sundays.
Yeah.
Before all this stuff, you know, I actually remember Walmart being actually a family company when Sam Walton was alive, not this China goods store that it is now. That's
yeah,
not all
those
it is.
Stores.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, I was a little kid in the 80s. Yeah, I mean, I was born in 79, but we just still had different values back then.
You sure did.
Now,
you sure did.
I mean, respect your father. You didn't talk crap to your father or your mother, and you better not ever talk back to an elder person. Boy, if you want to get hurt, talk back.
I mean, I was fortunate enough to have some values instilled in me because my parents were a little bit more old school. They were born, they were born in, like, the 60s and stuff. So they had those old school values, and that's the values. And, you know, I had aunties and uncles that were older, and they made sure, and older cousins too, they all made sure they instilled these values into you. There would be times when, there was one time I wanted to steal something. I didn't know anybody because I was a kid. I said, oh, this is something I want, and I thought it was okay to take it. But in right in front of everybody, my mom snatched it out of my hand and told me, you know, can't do that. But now
you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that stealing. Let me tell you what happened to me when I was a kid. I went to this store, never forget it, Pier 1 Imports, and they had these little balls, and they had, like, sin in them. And I thought it was cool, so I had one. I was playing with it. I walked out of the store with it. I'm in the car playing with it. My mom would say, where you get that from? I didn't buy that. And I'm like, oh, I got it from the store. You did? Okay. So she brought me right back in the store. She said, you go up there and tell that woman exactly what you did. She made me go up there. I said, I had took this. I was playing with it, you know, and I gave it back. And she said, what you want to do with it? Well, you know, we could call the police. I'm like, no, like that, you know. And man, I never took nothing again. But these modern parents now, they would have done that. I'm not saying all of them. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, they're not going to put their kids up like that. They'll say, oh, just don't do that. No, like embarrassing me like that.
Nowadays, the parents will sit there and they will say, "Oh, you took that stand-up ball. That's cool. Let me put it up on the mantle."
Yeah, it's horrible. It's just horrible. I mean, I've gotten so many lessons, you know, about acting up in church. I've gotten that one before. I remember, boy, one time I was acting up in church, and I was talking at the altar. My grandma told me, "I'm gonna get you when you get home." Boy, I got home. I tried to be slick. I tried to run from my grandma. I tried to run and jump in the bed. My grandma wrapped that belt around me like Indiana Jones, pulled me back, beat me, boy. I ain't do that before acting up at the altar. See, but in this day and time, that's child abuse. I wasn't bleeding. I was nothing. I learned my lesson. That same grandmother washed my mouth out with soap for cussing her house. Oh, you want to cuss, huh? I got something for you. She went took me in there with that Zest soap, washed my mouth out literally. I still taste that to this day when I even talk about it.
Oh, man, my mom used to do that, too. See, nowadays, you would probably get arrested for attempted murder trying to get your child to wash the mouth out with soap.
Well, we needed some child
that
laws.
We needed that discipline, though. We needed to have our mouth washed out with soap so you would know that it's not okay to sit there and talk and sit there and curse in front of your parents. Nowadays, people can actually sit there there's no way I could curse, even at my age now, there's no way I could sit there and curse in front of my parents without them getting upset.
I wouldn't even do that because the way I was raised, if you gonna cuss, you better not do it in front of the old people.
Yeah,
you better not.
Exactly.
You better do that somewhere else.
Because then you would even say, "Oh, but you guys are doing it." They'd be like, "It doesn't matter." your child.
It's two things you're going to hear out of them, the old people. A three-point sermon that you don't want to hear for about 30 minutes about your mouth cussing, and, or you're going to get told about how disrespectful you are, you weren't raised like that, who you've been around, you're full of the devil now, and all this other stuff. So to prevent all that, you just want to just, hey, you know, chill out. They didn't even cuss in front of kids back in the day. You know, kids are around, you know, Uncle So-and-so will be cussing or whatever, but the kids come around and chill out with that. Now they say any old thing in front of little kids, laughing at kids cussing, thinking it's funny. Facebook, I got videos on my YouTube channel of kids cussing. Black, white,
they'll post it up on the internet, and then their friends will be up on the pictures. So I'm like, oh, that's so cute. But there was no way that you could actually sit there and post a video. Like, you couldn't submit a video to Family's Funniest Home Videos of a kid cursing. There's nothing funny about that.
No, it's not. And it shows other people how uncouth you are.
It's real sad, the point we at. Like I said, that's what they say, it's the fault of these people, why the kids are this way or whatever. Yeah, you know, in a lot of ways you could say that, but at the end of the day, you still make your own choices. When you grown, you make your own choices. You can't point blame at somebody else for the crap you're doing. You can't say, well, my father wasn't around, so that's why I like that chick. I'm 25 and had 6 kids because my father wasn't around. Yeah. So you 25 and had 6 kids, you spread your legs.
I keep thinking about that video. You know, the one that you just mentioned with the chick who was fighting, and two girls got stripped. But it made me think, you know, 6 kids later, so her mom is out there condoning the behavior on the news.
I couldn't believe that. She's condoning it. Like, my parents, grandparents would have been embarrassed. And I would tell you exactly what they would have said. You got all them white folks in our family business on television talking about all our business. Everybody at the church knows white folks talking about us every day on the television. I got to look up and see you looking stupid. You know, that's exactly what they would say. But no, today, matter of fact, we talking about these females having babies. If a female got pregnant back in the day and if she wasn't married, one or two things going to happen. A shotgun wasn't going to happen because the dad would go threaten the guy to marry her. Or she was getting sent off. She wasn't going to be around now. She was going one way or another.
Nowadays, you be throwing your 14-year-old niece a baby shower.
We got a happy joy coming in. Like, what? She's 14.
I'm not saying that she should hate your child, but you shouldn't sit there and condone it and make them think that kind of behavior is okay.
Check this out. This is their favorite thing. Well, every child that comes into the world is a blessing. Under the right circumstances, they are.
Absolutely.
Because it's hell on earth.
Mm-hmm.
But you tell a person what I just said, that's offensive. Like, I care. Get over it. It's the truth. See, I was waiting that time period, too. You could sit up there and cry for everything. Like I cannot stand to see a female baby their son. I can't stand it. It's like, look at him. Say, leave that boy alone. Leave him alone. You know, that's when your dad steps in and say, no, son, this and that and the third. You do not baby them. You know what I'm saying? But unfortunately, in this time period, while we have so many weak men, we have so many weak men in this generation. Weak. I mean, I see more females with backbone than these men.
Yeah, man.
It's horrible.
I have a niece who has a boyfriend, and I keep swearing to God this boy is gay.
That's why it doesn't really surprise me why a lot of them start, you know, of course with the skirt wearing and the fly young red stuff, and you know, it doesn't surprise me because a lot of them are weak from this generation, but they know everything. You can't tell them nothing, you know. Anyway, sister, I got some calls I need to get to. I'm gonna put you on hold, and but thank you for calling.
I'm going to just listen in. All right, you guys take care.
All right, take care. All right. Gabriella, let's see. Eric Cole, 973, you on the show.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing,
bro?
Can
you hear
me? I can hear you good.
Not too bad. Okay. All right, that's what's up. All right, here's two couple of situations I came across after listening to y'all. I heard everything about, you know, about the laws that, you know, we just felt to, like, carry, you know, have our responsibility. I think over time, we just kind of forgot about history.
We don't have in what way?
No, we don't have history to look, in a sense where positive history. 1921.
Now, are you talking about Little Africa?
Yes. Like, it's weird. Why, like, it's not being taught in schools? It's not even
okay. You know what? Look.
You, because I didn't learn.
Let me finish. I call. All right. Those are positive stuff that we looked upon. We didn't depend on the system, which, you know, when they eradicated Little Africa, that's when they wanted to use laws to use the divide and conquer situation, and that's what's going on today. Because that's all we're doing is just blaming each other, for, you know, for this and that, when it's not really our fault. It's just, well, it is our fault, but collectively, we should just look back and just build that, you know, look back into what we did in history and build that again.
Well, we can't get back to that until
we
need rebuild the family. We got to build a family first before we build that. Because one thing they had in that society was strong family unit.
But I understand that. But here's the situation now. Like, we try to get everything on board, but it's going to be like Congress. You understand? We need to get something going now. Now I know, let's get on, we have to start at home. Yeah, we have to start at home, but there's a lot of families here. We have to get the ball rolling now. It's too late to get the ball rolling now. Or else we're going to keep doing this over and over again. It's going to be another 400 years.
All right, we need to get the ball rolling. What do you suggest? Give me 3 points on how we should get the ball rolling.
The 3 points, like I said, we should get all of, you know, universal, start up a group, all universal.
Okay, just, and how are we gonna start this group? How that's gonna be done?
Start small. Well, you know, start small. 4 or 5 groups, start your local, spread the word.
And
Who's gonna lead the group? Well, it could be 4 individuals. Hey, Haiti did it. They did it. They started, you know, something small, and they fight the biggest oppression of all. They had a group. They conquered it. So we have to do something. There's something there. But point is, we have to do it.
All right, you said
like,
group.
Yeah, it's me
you
and
said,
you.
Okay, you said groups. It's What's the second thing we need to do?
Like I said, build, you know, from the group, you know, from history, we're just going to have to build structure, discipline, and stick
and
to
I,
it.
And how are you going to get all those people on board with the structure and discipline?
Well, we teach it to the kids. We try to teach it to the kids. Get
you teach to the kids
or
the adults
or whatever.
Okay, so how? Okay, structure
adults,
and discipline. And you say
adults,
teach it to the kids.
Go to. Yeah, we have to discipline the kids because, you know, the media is there. You know, they taking away the kids and showing them this is the right thing to do, and which is not. So, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Okay, and what's your third point?
My third point. I hate to say it, but I have to agree with it. Ladies, keep your legs closed. Give it to the one that will deserve it. If the one can accept it, and the one thinks he's gonna get it from outside, tell the outside to keep their legs closed. So they have, I can't go to street. I can't go to A. I can't get it from B. I can't go to see. Oh damn, I'm stuck. And give it to
but
the person.
But also make sure you add.
Hold on. Give it to the person.
Hold on. I'm just saying. Let me add something. In the middle of that, guys need to be responsible with they trial the snake too now. Cause they ain't making them kids
because,
by
yeah,
themselves.
You're right. But
I think
like it's I said,
both sides
the guys will listen.
And have more discipline because nowadays people act like not having sex is like impossible. which it isn't. I mean, it's easy to be celibate. People act like it's the most impossible thing to do. They act like you can't. They act like if you say, okay, you shouldn't have sex for a year, people act like you told them not to eat for a year. And so people do really need to be more responsible with who they go to bed with, and they need to take accountability for their actions. If they do choose to do that, then at least they need to be you can't just sit there and pretend to be a victim when you sat out there and got pregnant. Or you can't sit there and act like you're a victim.
I'm not even talking about like the pregnant situation. What I'm talking about is,
but it goes in hand with what you were talking about when you were saying the women having spreading their legs, and what produces that kid.
Yes, but what I'm trying to say is rewarding, like in the sense that, guess what? If you want the guys to do a 360 around, they'll listen to you. If you know, if you open your legs, you know, like give your legs to the guys that's, you know, how would I say, like, that you don't, like, you feel that you don't have a future with or whatever, don't give it to them. Give it to a person that's deserving.
Okay, and with that said, appreciate your call, because we got 23 minutes left, and I got another call to take. This is the thing. When you say we need to fix certain issues in the community on the show, I may ask you how we're going to fix it, because I'm always open to suggestions. But make sure if you say we need to fix something, because a lot of people will throw out vague stuff and say how we need to fix it. But give me details, because a lot of things the last caller was saying, yeah, some of it's true, but it goes right back to family structure, though. Like he's saying about teaching the kids family structure and teach them discipline. Well, that's going to come from the parents. So if the parents don't have it, how the kids going to have it? You know what I'm saying? You talk about organizing these groups. Sure, we can't even organize our family half of the time. And that's bad. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to be blood. But like I said, it's sad that we live in a time period that is leaning more and more like, if you made it, then you good. Because it's, we just don't have a collective mindset anymore. I mean, do you agree with that, Ms. Gabrielle?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the next caller. Erico 901, you on the show.
What's up?
What's going on?
How you doing?
Excited. I'm all right. You excited? What's going on?
Man, not a whole lot, man. Just laying back right now. Just thinking about the things that y'all been saying.
Okay.
May I please ask what your name is? I think I know.
My name?
Mm-hmm.
Donatello?
Oh, okay. I thought there was someone else. I'm sorry. Continue.
Yes. So how's everybody doing?
We're fine.
Good.
So
good.
Is there anything you'd like to add to the topic?
Yes. Don't y'all, do you remember this TV show called Walkins?
No.
I'm very familiar with Walkins. Because, see, Walkins, it's a very old show. And they talk about the people. And, see, they have families and things on there. Their family go always.
Wait. What's the name of that show again?
The Walkins.
The what? Walkins?
The Walkins.
The Walkins?
The Walkins?
Yes.
Okay, the old school show, The Walkins. Okay, from back in the day.
Yes.
The first episode aired September 14, 1972, and it ended in 81. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, and their family, the Walters, they will always stick together. And this is a show that's based on what was going on back in the 30s. And they will always stick together and help each other if they get in trouble. Because today people are not doing that. They got families just fighting each other and just and stealing from each other. And that's not right.
No, it's not right. So why do you think that has happened with this current generation?
Well, because people just don't care today.
And why do you think they're so apathetic?
Well, it is. Well, to just people just see they just don't see. The thing is, they just not good times anymore.
Okay, I'm gonna ask that question again. Why do you think they are apathetic?
Apathetic.
Yeah. In other words, you know, let me rephrase it. Why do you think they just don't care anymore?
Well,
like what led them to that?
Family just don't chastise the kids anymore like they used to.
Well, that's true. I mean, I agree with you on that. You know, that, like I said, that old scripture is true. You spare the rod, you spoil the child. Now, this is the thing. When we giving that rod, them children got spoiled. And, you know, I read a post with a coach that's been teaching school 40 years, coaching 40 years. He said, children have not changed from the time that he was in, started to now. He said what has changed is parenting.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
That's why kids are the way they are today. But, you know, the law wasn't so involved with parenting either back in the day. I mean, you had to do some outlandish to your child to get arrested. I mean, some abusive stuff. But, you know, if a parent had a child in a store, let's say like they 2-3 years old, they touch something, they grab their little hand and say, hey, don't touch that. Not hurt them, just a little tap. They'll say, oh, that's child abuse, they get arrested.
Right.
Let me stop. It depends where you're at. Because they got some areas like, they'll look at you like, you ain't going to get that kid? But like I was trying to tell a caller earlier, the way black people raise their kids was totally different than the way white people raise their kids. And not all whites.
That's right.
You know, like I said, I remember seeing my white friends could talk crap to their mom or their dad. Not mm-hmm. us. We're picking up our teeth off the floor. And in this time, I'll try to explain, it's like the white parenting model, and I've had some white people say, no, the white liberal parenting model. I say, okay. Because so, I know some white people that bust their kids too. And, the white parenting model of the liberal side has overtaken everything. And that's why, you know, I mean, they'll hit their mama. Like it ain't nothing. In the black community, you know better than to hit your mama. You'll get murked.
I know people who do stuff like that.
Hit your mama. Cuss your mama? What? Talk crazy to your father or your grandfather, grandmother? We never, like the things we see today, we never heard of black people doing the stuff they're doing today. When I was growing up, sorry if somebody get offended, we used to say, oh, that's what white folks do. We don't do that stuff. Black folks that took the ball and they ran with it. They do more stuff. Now, that's the truth. We hear certain crimes, you're like, oh, well, shoot, that ain't us. We don't do stuff like that. Now, black people do that and some. They're not conscious of everything, anything. They so silly. And I say, oh, tomorrow I'm going to do a video on Kobe Bryant. I can't wait to talk about him because now all of a sudden he want to be black. The other day you were talking crap, and everybody got mad at me for going at Kobe. I don't care what you get mad at. It was the truth. Now everything I said in that video coming right back, he want to say that, oh, they want to charge me a rape because I'm black. Because they used to charge black men with rape for, you know, lies and stuff when it was white women. Oh, before, the previous thing, he wasn't black. And he looked at all the facts, right? Oh, I want to get on him. I'm ready to get on him. But anyway, and he's a part of this generation. Well, what black person say that? Well, you know, siding with stuff you clearly know is racist. I mean, that's like a third eye for at least when I was growing up. You know racism when you see it. Now, some people claim racism. You know what I'm saying? It don't be some racism. Like, you know, give you an example. They got some black people. They get fired from a job. They say, man, the white folks fired me, man. What did they fire you for? They say, I was late. Were you late? Yeah, I clocked in 8:02 a few times, and some other times I clocked in 8:03. But you late, bruh. I mean, like, that's not racist. That's just you late. Now, you was on time and they fired you, and you didn't do nothing wrong, okay, it's different. And they only did it to black folks. that'd be a different story. But nah, bro, you know.
Okay, I was at 8:15 because I don't think a job's gonna fire you for clocking in at 8:02.
Man, let me tell you something. I had a job 1 minute late. 1 minute late, you tardy. So many tardies, you get days off. After them days off, you do it again, you're fired. Oh yeah, they got jobs like that.
That's why I used to show up early, but.
So they do have jobs like that, sir.
Yeah, they got jobs like that.
That sounds ridiculous, but it's true. I always come
to but these jobs, these jobs, what I'm talking about is, you know, your petrochemical jobs, you know, they say they pay you pretty decent. So they, and the thing is, they want you on your shift on time because you got to do turnaround, and these other guys want to go home. They've been working 12 hours or so, ain't got time to be playing around with you showing up late. So they don't play that, you know. That's why.
See, one thing about it, some people just don't care about working right now most of the time. And
they always want money, though. But they always want money.
Yeah, they always want to do wrong just to get money, but it doesn't work that way because there's a lot of scenarios behind it, doing wrong. Anything can happen to you.
And the killer part about it, the same people you talking about, and be the main ones mad at somebody else when they actually work hard and got money and they're doing it right, they want to be hating on them the whole time.
Yeah, it happens to me. It happens to me. Some people hate on me too. But see, I don't let it bother me.
And then this is something else, Ms. Gabriella can second this. They don't want to work hard for nothing. Like, you work hard at something, man, how you do this? How you do that? Get me on. Do this. Do that. Say, man, put in the work.
And then when you sit there and tell them, I had this, and this. It took me years to build this. It took me this amount of hours to do that. They're like, oh, no, that's too much work. I don't want to do all that. Can you just give me a shout-out? Or can you basically carry me? This is the problem with our generation, actually. Everybody is just walking around with their hand out, or they want to sit there and ride on somebody's coattails. The value of hard work is gone. Everybody wants to be instantly famous, and they don't realize how much work
effort
it goes into what you have to do, because they say, oh, well, so-and-so got a viral video, and they blew up, so that's all I have to do. And they don't realize the amount of hard work that actually goes into anything. They just think, oh, I can get rich quick, and they're always jumping on these get-rich money schemes that you see all over the Internet, and then you see people wanting to be...
some people are falling for it, you know?
Hey, like I had a comment. I had a comment on YouTube, somebody left, and I know it was a youngster. Oh, he got 88,000 subscribers, you know, and he's dumb. Shoot, I'm going to start the show. Okay, go ahead, because you'll find out as you go along how dumb I am. I love when people call me dumb. I love it.
I like your show. I like the shows, man. I like them.
I tell you what, today I got a video for you today. After the show, I'm exposing the largest corporation in America that owns most of these prisons. I'm exposing them today.
Okay.
Some things y'all don't know about. Cause see, you know, my thing is I like exposing stuff that CNN don't talk about. You know, that's affecting, you know, everybody. And once you find out this information, you're going to get sick to your stomach knowing how much money these people are making off of the people in the prisons and how these judges are all hand-in-hand with it. I do that after the show. But anyway, yeah, man, nobody wants to work hard no more. Everybody wants instant gratification. Everything has to be instant. You know, we live in that microwave fast food mentality.
Generation, that's what it is.
I mean, they just don't, you know, they just don't want to do nothing with themselves. I mean, they don't.
Exactly.
They don't want to do nothing with themselves. All they want to do is go and stay on street corner all day long, hustling.
Yeah, but they want to be want money. Talking about we in here. I mean, you ain't in nothing.
You broke the joke. Shoot.
Yeah, they run around here. They get a car, get some clothes, perpetrating the fraud, and to get these little broke hood rats or whatever, impressing them.
Oh yeah, them hood rats ain't no good.
And they
ain't no good.
Though, yeah, we know. Well, I think I show enough of them. Hopefully, you know, I had one guy, and I was proud of myself. I had one guy write me, and no, he wasn't black. he wrote me and said, you know what, I was watching your video, and I realized my girlfriend was a hood rat, and I broke up with her. I said, good for you. And then he said, you know what she did after that? She threatened me with her family. They woke up beating me up because I broke up with her. I said, I told you. Hood rats and violence.
See, they'll do something like that. Even though
go ahead.
Get into it. Even though if something happens, like say for instance, if you take them out to a restaurant, and then they'll fight over the man and the girl are trying to fight over who wants to pay their way, who wants to pay whose way, and they'll get mad at you when you don't want to pay their way, and you want them to pay their own way, and then y'all get into it, they go to fighting, and they'll call someone to come to their house and try to do something to them, try to rob them or shoot them.
I tell dude, leave them hood rats alone. Leave them alone.
They ain't no good. Because
ain't no
see,
good.
Me, myself, they, for me personally, I don't care nothing about them. I try to stay solo right now.
And I'm going to tell you something else, especially a lot of black men, they may avoid black women as hood rats, but they won't avoid women that's not black as hood rats. Hood rats is in every race, pimping. You know,
no
you better
color, it doesn't discriminate.
It doesn't discriminate, but I know there's a lot of black dudes, they'll say, oh, this black woman's a hood rat, but he be with a white chick that's a hood rat. Like, dude, you got the same kind of chick. She's just a different color.
See, the hood rat means just a behavior. That's all it is. It's just a behavior.
It is.
There's no race behind it. There's no sex behind it. It's just a behavior. You could be living in the suburbs and still have that hood rat mentality. It really doesn't matter. Because you didn't came from the hood to move out to the suburbs to maybe protect yourself from getting hurt. But you still gonna carry that same mentality.
Yeah, what they say you can get out the hood, you can't get the hood out of them?
No, you can't get the hood out of them. Go stay in them.
Exactly.
It's like
so
a lot of gangbangers going around just gangbanging in the suburbs. Because they got that stuff from the hood.
That's stupid. And with that said, I'm going to mute the call. I need to see if I can go ahead and wrap up the show. Well, thank you for calling.
Yes.
All right, Ms. Gabriella, you want to do your thing before we leave?
All right, we only got a few minutes left on the show, so I invite you all to check me out on YouTube. I have a couple more videos coming. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/user/GIGIAYUMU. And I am actually taking requests, and I'm also going to be talking more about the obesity epidemic, because I posted a video talking about, this whole thick versus fat thing, and it caused a little bit of controversy, and I'm actually want to go in more in detail on why I think that obesity is a huge problem. We need to, as a black community, this is something that needs to be addressed and not glorified. And with that being said, I invite, check out my videos on YouTube, follow me on Twitter, like my Facebook fan page. All those links can be found on my YouTube channel.
All right. Now, before I say anything, I want to give a shout out to Mario, and give a shout out to hold on, I'll make sure I get this man's name right. I don't want to mess nothing up. Give me Eldridge. There we go. Shout out to Mario and Eldridge for donating to the show. We appreciate that on this end. Thank you for being a blessing. Lord will bless you back in return. Also, I wanted to make sure you guys. Watch my YouTube channel as well, The Advice Show TV. Some of you have, some of you haven't. Make sure you subscribe to it. And all the other channels we have, Ratchet Video Weekly, Advice Show Media Channel. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/TheAdviceShow. Also, facebook.com/TheAdviceShow. Look for me on Instagram, Advice Show Media. Now, what we're going to do here is we're going to put out our videos for the day. Like I said, today I've had a difficult day. I've been trying to fight a cold, as I stated earlier, but I still did my videos anyway. So if you guys have liked the Ratchet Video Weekly channel, we've got a video there, and then I'll be putting two videos up on the Advice Show TV today. And we just, like I said, wrap everything up. I thank everybody for joining me tonight, chiming in. And on this show, we, like I said, even if you don't agree with us, we accept your call. It's no problem. If you got issues with me and you want to talk in the comment section, I'm going to let you know. I'm not going to go back and forth with you in the comment section. But if you want to call the show and discuss it with me, I will open up the floor and we can discuss it. Cause that's me. Because you take comments certain ways and you misconstrue them and everything like that. But Gabrielle knows what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the best just to call, talk, and that's it. You know, long we can be civil. I'll talk to anybody. So, you know, we got, what, 4 minutes left, Ms. Gabriella? Anything you want to add?
No, I was about it. Like I said, just check me out on YouTube.
Okay. All right. So I want to make sure everybody have a great weekend. So we'll be back on the show next week. I don't know, what should we do next week, Ms. Gabriella? A certain topic we should just do, like, off the cuff? What? Because I haven't did, like, a freestyle show yet. I mean, like, just whatever. We talk about whatever comes to mind with the guests. We haven't done that yet, huh?
Yeah, we could do a free. I did have an idea, but we.
Okay, well, we could talk about that too. But we just haven't talked about that yet. You know, at first I was going to add a second show. You know, about that week, everybody, I did a second show.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it won't work out for me, not yet. Like I said, but I think it's something we probably would like to do in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am very stretched thin.
No, you and me both. I got a 20-page paper to write. I got spent, and I only got 2 weeks to do it. So
20 pages and 2 weeks to do it.
It's a lot. It's a research paper. It's not an easy paper.
Right? Oh, I didn't say it was easy. What's the subject?
It is on. I'm doing research on why the graduation rate is so low in Washington D.C. and why is it that. Because in the minority, well, in the Latin and Black communities, the graduation rate is like about 60-something percent, but then in the white community, it's 85 to 89%. So that's my research.
Mm. Well, I mean, a lot of that's linked to family structure also. I mean, because I've seen, like, just to be honest, I've literally seen how white people prepare their children for college.
Mm-hmm.
In the Black community, we just prepare our kids to graduate high school. I mean, I've heard that so many times. So
my research is going to go really in-depth and plenty of stuff. The reasons why, but like a lot of kids don't have access to textbooks. A lot of their parents didn't go to college, things like that. So there's a lot of things I don't have to hit on in my paper. But, yeah, it was nice talking to you guys. I got to get on the road soon.
Hold on. Can somebody ask me a question before I wrap this up? Can they ask me about your YouTube channel? How you spell that again?
YouTube.com/user/G as in George, okay, GIGIAYUMU. Don't ask about the name. I'll probably have to do a video to explain the origin. But,
okay, because I put it in the Ustream chat room because somebody was asking.
There you go.
About it. So, anyway, like I said, after I get off this show here in about another few seconds, I'll be putting the videos out for the day. You guys can check it out. But please make sure you check out the video about the privately owned prisons and how that's run in America. Messed up stuff. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. And those who haven't seen the show or want to see the show, it'll be uploaded tomorrow on the Advice Show Media channel.